What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you'll never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Getting into the war zones, and they are trying to crank up as many as they can before Trump takes office. Apparently, Obama just labeled Somalia as a target of the global war on terror. And how amazingly coincidental, we have a Somali refugee slash up a bunch of people at Ohio State University. Sure, it's just a coincidence. Yes, nothing there, whatever. Over in Syria, the U.S. effort to oust Assad, or at least get a war going there, is crumbling rapidly. Egypt has now stepped into the fight as well. The jihadi fronts are falling apart. The water supply for Aleppo is back in the hands of the Syrian government. The U.S.-backed terrorists were using the threat of shutting off water to keep the people in Aleppo under control. And now the waterworks are back in the control of the government, and the water is flowing. People are able to drink, cook food, bathe, do whatever it is they're going to do here. So far, the Syrian government forces have liberated about 40% of East Aleppo from the terrorists. This, according to the Reconciliation Center. And this is less about fighting and more about these terrorist-controlled areas accepting Assad's amnesty. They walk on in, surrender their weapons, say, we were wrong. And I don't think the fact that the U.S. is now assassinating all of their contact people in these groups is helping the situation. These U.S.-backed terrorists are realizing the U.S. has left them to hang out to dry. So, of course, they're going to accept the amnesty at this point. Now, the House has passed a resolution for a Syrian no-fly zone, trying to provoke that open war with Russia. And I think at this point, it's time for Syria and Russia to take the United States to the United Nations to say to the world, the United States has no reason to be in Syria at all. Russia is there at the express invitation of and permission by the Syrian government. The U.S. isn't there. The U.S. is the invader and the aggressor. And calling it a no-fly zone does not erase the fact that what they're talking about is a blockade of the airspace over somebody else's country. But as I said before, now that everybody is sort of getting used to the idea that Trump is going to be the president, the war hawks are going to try and get a hot war going and stick him with it. And I don't think they're done in Syria just yet, because over on Twitter, there's this new Twitter account that just showed up in September. And it purports to be the Twitter feed of a 7-year-old living in Aleppo named Bana Alabed. And it has tweets like, tonight we have no house, it's bombed and I got in rubble, I saw deaths and I almost died. Because as we know, when you're a 7-year-old and your house is bombed, the first thing you're going to do is go to Twitter, right? It's another propaganda fraud. Oh, feel sorry for the children of Aleppo. That's why we have to send your children into Syria to beat those mean old Russians. Now, Russia is reporting that U.S.-backed terrorists are using chemical weapons in Hosh village in the Aleppo countryside. So it's still going on out there. And here's an article that came out of Huffington Post. And we know Huffington Post is very liberal biased. And their headline reads, Afghanistan is already to be Donald Trump's first foreign policy disaster. And this validates what I said about sticking Donald Trump with other people's problems. Donald Trump did not create the mess in Afghanistan. That goes all the way back to 2001 and El Presidente de Uno Kyle's installation as the president of Afghanistan following the U.S. invasion. And it's been nothing but trouble ever since, all in the name of oil and opium flowing to America's ultra elites. But it is falling apart. And what they're trying to do is they're going to say, oh, when it falls apart, it's all Donald Trump's fault. No, it's the fault of George W. Bush, who went in there in the first place. Huffington Post is being a little bit less than honest. course, from the Huffington Post point of view, a foreign policy success in Afghanistan is Afghanistan as a puppet-ruled client state of the United States of America, because we're great and they're bad. 4,000 NATO troops are taking part in Lithuania's largest exercise near Russia's border. Poke, 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 poke. Ooh, Russia's bad, Russia's bad. We got to put our troops on the border. Poke, 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 poke. Sir Michael Fallon is out there saying that NATO is prepared to go to war with Russia and respond to Putin's threats. Okay, Sir Michael, if you really feel that way, here's your rifle, here's your parachute, here's your Dayglo orange jumpsuit. Have fun. Putin isn't threatening anybody. Go back over world history, back all the way to 2001. What is the nation that has been invading, regime changing, and drone striking the rest of the world? It's not Russia. The United States is the aggressor. Everybody knows it. The reason the corporate media and Obama and everybody else are out there crying about the independent media is they can't get you to believe this lie that Russia's the bad guy and the U.S. government are the good guys. Because we're all seeing it for ourselves. We're going to take a second to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, also in the news over the weekend, as you probably already heard, Fidel Castro died. He was age 90, had a good run, survived a lot of assassination attempts on him by the CIA. And the headline, as it appeared in the New York Times, Fidel Castro, Cuban revolutionary who defied the United States, dies at 90. And then they had the tagline, Mr. Castro brought the Cold War into the Western Hemisphere, bedeviled 11 American presidents, and briefly pushed the world to the brink of nuclear war. Now, this is the usual high-quality journalistic standards reporting from the New York Times. Because what really happened is Castro rose to power in the aftermath of the U.S.-backed overthrow of Gerardo Machado in 1933. And they installed Batista as a puppet ruler. And Batista basically crushed the people of Cuba. He was selling Cuba's agricultural produce to U.S. companies like United Fruit and PepsiCo at well below market rates, which allowed these corporations to be highly profitable. Now, Cuba under Batista also became the mafia's tropical Las Vegas, just 90 miles away from Florida. No U.S. laws about drugs or anything like that. They built these huge hotels and casinos in Havana. And Havana just became known as this sin bin. They had live sex shows, including women having sex with animals on stage. This is actually hinted at obliquely in the third of the Godfather films. And then finally, in 1959, as happened in Iran in 1979, and then later in Chile, the Cuban people had enough and revolted. And Batista was forced to flee with his supporters, most of whom were allowed to settle in South Florida. Now, this was a huge embarrassment for the United States. Certainly, the mafia was very angry about all the money they'd lost in this deal. But Fidel Castro initially tried to normalize relations with the U.S. government. And the U.S. government came on back and said, we'll accept you as the new ruler of Cuba as long as you continue to sell Cuba's produce at below market rates to our companies and you let the mafia back into Havana. And Fidel Castro said no. Cuba's agricultural produce is for sale at the prevailing market rates so the Cuban people who are growing it can have a decent standard of living. At that point, the U.S. government declared this economic embargo to try and crush Cuba's economy and force Cuba to accept the return of Batista. This is what forced Castro to form an alliance with the Soviet Union. Now, this in turn only poured salt into the U.S. government's wounded ego regarding the loss of Cuba as a puppet state. So in 1961, the CIA planned an invasion of Cuba to force Castro out of power and restore puppet rule under Batista. Now, the CIA told President John F. Kennedy that the Cuban people did not support Castro. They'd had revolters' remorse, and they would welcome the liberation of Cuba and the restoration of the Batista regime. So Kennedy approved the operation known as Operation Mongoose to build and arm a Cuban brigade made up of mercenaries and Batista supporters from South Florida, armed through a covert weapons smuggling operation in New Orleans and supported by ships owned by the Zapata Oil Company under the control of George Herbert Walker Bush. The ships were named the Zapata, the Barbara, and the Houston. Kennedy was assured by the CIA that the Cuban people would flock to support the invading brigades, and the invasion was launched at the Bay of Pigs. But the Cuban people instead raced on down to the Bay of Pigs and pounded the American invaders into the sand while the Cuban Air Force planes sank the ships, cutting off the brigade from support or retreat. Kennedy upped the ante, sending unmarked U.S. fighter jets to protect the brigade's B-26 bombers that were trying to hold back Castro's 20,000-strong force. But the fighters arrived late. You're not going to believe this. They were confused by the time zone maps. The bombers were shot down and the invasion crushed. It was a huge, huge embarrassment. Kennedy publicly accepted responsibility, but privately said the CIA was lying all the way along. Now, John F. Kennedy was forced to violate his own U.S. embargo on Cuba by trading $53 million in baby food and medicine for the survivors of the captured Cuban brigade. Now, the CIA immediately started planning a second invasion of Cuba, as well as carrying out a program of agricultural sabotage against Cuba, which is obliquely referred to in the film The Good Shepherd. Now, the Soviet Union started establishing missile bases in Cuba to guard against that second invasion, and also because the U.S. was installing nuclear missiles in Turkey close to the Russian border. Those of you old enough to remember the Cuban Missile Crisis will probably notice the corporate media didn't mention the U.S. nuclear missiles that were the primary cause of this. So that was the Cuban Missile Crisis and a near miss with nuclear war, but it was all provoked from the U.S. side. Castro had little to do with it. Now, John F. Kennedy and Khrushchev reached a secret deal in which the nuclear missiles were withdrawn from Cuba with the understanding that nuclear war would be the automatic response if there was a second attempt to invade Cuba. So, at that point, Kennedy moved to shut down the CIA's plan for the second invasion and started to dismantle the CIA as having grown dangerously rogue and out of control. Now, following John F. Kennedy's assassination, there was a brief attempt to blame Cuba for it, to anger the American people into supporting a new invasion. Somebody claiming to be Lee Harvey Oswald but looking nothing like him at all applied for a visa in Mexico City to travel to Cuba to lay the paper trail. Now, you remember that rifle that they planted on Oswald, the Mannlicher Carcano? It's called the worst shoulder weapon in the world. In fact, the one that was planted on Oswald had a manufacturing defect. The scope couldn't be aligned to line up with the gun itself. But the Mannlicher Carcano was the weapon Castro was importing by the shipload to arm the Cuban people against a possible second U.S. invasion. That's why that rifle was chosen to be planted on him. Now, Lyndon Johnson was aware of the secret deal between Kennedy and Khrushchev, and he was convinced Khrushchev would carry out the threat of a nuclear launch. So Lyndon Johnson buried the Cuban link, and Lee Harvey Oswald was recast as the crazed lone nut assassin who acted on his own, until, of course, the House Select Committee on Assassinations, which was forced to conclude there had been multiple shooters in Dealey Plaza and hence a conspiracy to kill John F. Kennedy. And I'm sure the corporate media is going to tell you this is all fake news. Oh, it's fake news, fake news, fake news. Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, really. And if you don't believe that, then you're a Russian stooge. Now, I'm going to have to do a little tip of the hat to Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm not his biggest fan, but he was very gracious in calling up Palestinian Authority leader Abbas and expressing thanks for the Palestinian assistance dealing with these out-of-control wildfires in Israel. Apparently, Israel has not been dealing with the overburden of dried brush, and they've got a real bad problem with wildfires over there. And Palestine sent 8 fire trucks and 40 firefighters to help them deal with that. And Netanyahu was very gracious, and he said, yes, that was a help. All right, so let's talk about the economy. Probably on Friday morning, you were seeing all over the corporate media, oh, Black Friday is underway, the malls are full. And I remember watching on Fox News where they had some of their talking heads at a local shopping mall, oh, the sales is underway. And the mall was empty. There was hardly anybody there. We drove by our mall at the bottom of the hill. We weren't dumb enough to go inside. A lot of empty spaces in that parking lot. And here we are Monday. The numbers are coming on in. No, it wasn't a very good Black Friday at all for the malls. And the reason is simple. We don't have any money. Now, the shopping malls and the retailers are out there trying to blame online sales. Oh, those online sales, they're taking it away from us. Well, the online retailers didn't do as good as they thought either. It all comes down to a simple fact. When you have an economic system that sucks all of the wealth out of the entire population and concentrates it at the very top, then ordinary people don't have the money to go to stores to buy the things that are being sold. It's that simple. And why nobody inside the Obama administration could realize that and the necessity of bringing back well-paying jobs to the American people, it's just absolutely a mystery. And it's going to be another disastrous holiday shopping season. Now, there was a very interesting article that came out of Market Watch, and I think this hits the nail right on the head. What Trump voters want is more economic power for themselves. They're not interested in taxes on the rich. They're not interested in handouts. Yes, the permanent poor class, they want more welfare and SNAP and all the rest of it. But the middle class wants to come back, and they want to come back on the strength of their own labor. And they're seeing Make America Great Again as meaning making Americans great again, where economic power is brought back down to the main core of our society. Nobody's looking for a free handout. We simply want an economic climate where we can translate our labor, our entrepreneurialism, into real-world wealth, which we will then take and buy new cars with, new homes with, and take to the shopping malls. It's that simple. Now, I don't envy Donald Trump his new job. It's going to be a major battle. There is no quick fix for the economy, and anybody who thinks there is, you're living in a dream world. We've been losing our manufacturing for 30 years. It's going to take a long time to bring it back. And that is just the reality. Right now, despite all of the amazingly wealthy people who live there, 60% of New Yorkers are one paycheck away from homelessness. The entire country is living on the edge of financial ruin. And that was a big part of why Donald Trump won. Because Hillary Clinton represented a continuance of the current system, and the current system simply does not work for the majority of American people. By the way, if you take California out of the equation, Donald Trump did win that popular vote. All of Hillary's claimed popular vote victory is all concentrated in California, where all those illegal immigrants were in there and voting. And remember, we just put up the videotape where the illegal immigrants are saying, Obama told us it was okay to come here. Now, over in Italy, a lot of people are paying attention to Renzi, who's Prime Minister Matteo Renzi, is coming up on this Italian referendum this weekend. They're saying that if he loses, Italy's eight major banks could fail. They're caught up in this huge cross-linked net of unpayable debt. And everybody's getting very, very nervous. Meanwhile, up in Brussels, while the European people are struggling with starvation, the European banks are struggling at the edge of collapse, the EU officials voted themselves a pay raise. Retroactive to July, just in time for that Christmas shopping season. See, they're going to be going to the shopping malls and buying all kinds of things for people. It's going to be a Merry Christmas for them. All right, we're coming up here on a commercial break. We're going to come right back talking more about the economy, more about Europe, more about Brexit, immigration, human-caused global warming. We got a lot of stuff to get through before the end of the show, and we will be right back.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're talking about what's going on over in Europe. Things are in serious trouble over there. And according to Romano Prodi, who led the European Union Commission from 1999 to 2004, he's out there saying basically the European Commission has lost influence and Angela Merkel's Germany is now effectively ruling Europe. And he's out there saying Brussels' glory days are over. Of course, Juncker has not really impressed too many people with his behavior. But you need to remember the European Union started, was sold to the people as an open border free trade bloc. That was it. And over the years, it's metastasized into this continental dictatorship. Whether it's Brussels or Berlin, it's still a bad sign here. Now, over in Stuttgart, Germany, they're still having a problem with their refugees. Apparently there have been 180 rapes, assaults, and robberies by migrants just in this one city. And the government is finally having to admit that, yes, the crime problem has gotten bigger ever since the refugee program started. The official view of Germany and all of the EU is, no, everything is just fine. The refugees are great. You know, you're all just imagining things. It's just this vile propaganda campaign to demonize the refugees, and it's all Vladimir Putin's fault or whatever else they're going to say. Now, over in Italy, migrants rioted after being denied asylum. They're refusing to leave the country and demanding their daily allowance. In other words, we got here. Where's the free money we were all told we were going to be getting? And it's factionalizing the entire country. Italy's Minister of the Interior is literally telling Italian citizens, if they do not hand their homes over to migrants, they will be thrown into jail. I think it's time for a good old-fashioned revolution over there in Italy here. Now, despite all the bashing of Donald Trump for his wall with Mexico, it now looks like the European countries are planning, as an emergency, to build their own immigrant wall. Because as Turkey pivots more toward Russia and China and is no longer interested in joining with the European Union, Erdogan is saying they're just going to open the border gates and let all of those millions of refugees that have been sitting in Turkey to just flock toward Europe. This is going to end badly. We're going to take a phone call. John in Barbados, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Yes, I'm going to be brutally honest in this short segment. We got Jill Stein. We've got Wolf Blitzer, we've got George Soros. The common denominator is they are all Jews. And until, you know, you recognize that this
John, okay. I want to avoid this topic because right now we're seeing this war between the corporate media and the independent media, and they're looking for anything that they can use to demonize us. And I've already seen a whole flood of posts, you know, out there about how whatreallyhappened.com is this anti-Semitic site who wants Hitler to come back and gas the Jewish babies in the ovens. Okay?
Well, I'm not anti-Semitic.
Hey, no, John, hang on. Okay? I'm telling you, I'm drawing a line in the sand. If you want to talk about the actions of these people, that's fine. Okay, but I'm not going to go along with this generalization, and mostly because I've known some Jewish people I really, really think very well of. And again, I'm going to go back to Renee Valenti, who was just this amazing sweetheart person, and she was Jewish.
Well, okay, yes, I agree that there is. I mean, Gilad Atzmon is a shining example.
Exactly.
But what I'm trying to tell you is this is, you know, the ADL, the SPLC, the APACs. These are a Trojan horse inside your nation, and I'm with Zundel on this point of view. It has to be tackled. All the dual citizen Israelis in Congress, the Senate.
Yeah, but right now, this moment is not the time to do it, okay? After January 20th, we can raise it as an issue. Because it is a valid issue, and I think Donald Trump and his administration are going to be sensitive to that idea of too much outside influence, okay? But right now is not the right moment to do it. So, John, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go, and we'll be right back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened? What really
And welcome back to the show here. And I want to step back to Israel's fires, because those are a real problem, and I feel bad for everybody who's in the path of those fires. When the fires first started, Israel was out there saying these were acts of terror by the Palestinians, the usual blah, 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 blah. And it was kind of weird how fast that story went away. And now I just got an email from a listener who says that over on Twitter, people are posting photographs showing that all these wildfires are the result of settlers going on out on a new massive campaign of burning the olive trees of the Palestinians. And apparently the wind was up too high, the flames jumped over, hit the dry brush, and it's just out there, and it's not pleasant for anybody. And that's, I guess, why they backed off saying, well, technically it was an act of terror, but it's just the wrong terrorist, so we're not going to report that. Getting on back to Europe, as you know, ever since the Brexit vote went on through, and the Remain people are whining and crying and wringing their hands and trying to find some machination to overturn the result of the election, a lot like Hillary's people are doing. And it's all about dragging Great Britain back into the slavery of the European Central Bank, without which they're going to be much better off. And all of the financial analysts looking at Britain's economy after they sever their relationship with the European Union are showing it's going to take off. It's going to be booming. And that's hardly a surprise because the European Union sucked a huge amount of wealth out of Great Britain and gave virtually nothing back except a bunch of refugees. Germany and Great Britain together were holding up the rest of the EU. That's why they're so desperate to keep Great Britain in there. It's a source of money that they can use to float this Ponzi scheme, European Central Bank scam, along a little bit longer. And the British people don't want to have that. And all the numbers are showing that once Britain is operating as a sovereign, independent nation, their lives are going to be better. And I can imagine that following the Brexit, and by the way, there doesn't need to be this long, complicated process. Just close the Channel Tunnel, put sharks in the English Channel to deal with the refugees, cut all the computer cables that tie your bank to the European bank, and you're done. Say, we've gone off on our own. What are you going to do, invade? Now, meanwhile, European Union President Jean-Claude Juncker is now demanding the leaders of the member states of the EU ban all future in-out referendums out of his fear that the voters will choose to leave. How dare those voters leave the European Union? Do you know how long and hard we've worked to make them our slaves and now they want to leave? Remember, as John F. Kennedy said, those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. He's absolutely right. The European Union is a failed experiment. It's been an economic disaster for all of the member states. It's been great for Brussels and the ECB. The money junkies are making money hand over fist, and they love that. But it's not very good for ordinary people. And it sort of reveals that the attitude of the world's elites is basically, screw the ordinary people and what they want. They only exist to make us rich, to breed us new workers and soldiers and consumers. That's the only thing they're here for. If we didn't have a use for them, we'd eradicate them all, the useless eaters. More and more, the people of planet Earth are beginning to see the true nature and character of those who would claim to be our rulers. It's not very pleasant. And we've been through this before. During the French Revolution, the American Revolution, when you begin to realize just what your leaders are really like. Our Washington, D.C. is really just a giant septic tank. And the really big chunks keep rising to the top. Now, the Education Association is already up in arms over Trump's nominee, Betsy DeVos, for Education Secretary. Excuse me. Because of her stance against Common Core. Pardon me. Now, we know, we've been talking about Common Core for a long time. It's not good education. It is indoctrination. It's participation trophies. It's a system to make the next generation of Americans think they're educated and know what's going on, while in fact dumbing them down. And just teaching them it's okay to believe what we tell you to believe. And that may be good for tyranny and dictatorship. It's lousy for the economy. Right now, America's millennial generation has been described as virtually useless in the global economy. They don't have skills. They don't know how to do things. They don't know how to make things. Don't know how to solve problems. And so it's time for Common Core to go away. I mean, Common Core, it was certainly a boon for the publishers of school textbooks because all the old textbooks had to be thrown away, sent to the landfills. And all new Common Core compliant textbooks had to be sold. That was a huge amount of money. So, one of the things Common Core teaches, of course, is human-caused global warming is real. And as we get in here close to the 1st of December, a little bit of news to report on that. It is snowing in Saudi Arabia. It's below freezing over there. Now, when you think of Saudi Arabia, certainly I do, you think Lawrence of Arabia. you know, and heat waves shimmering in the distance. Camels. You don't think about snowball fights and snow sheiks, but that's what's happening. In Chakra and the northwestern city of Tobruk, they have snow on the ground. The temperature's below freezing. Now, down in Australia, they've got snow falling in Tasmania, which is kind of a shock when you realize they're just days away from the official start of summer down there. So what are the carbon Nazis going to do about that? Well, they're already out there saying the global warming pause is back. And the ice is increasing. The global warming is real. It's just on pause. Somebody hit the pause button, and you shouldn't doubt global warming and the need for a carbon tax. Even though we've got another cold winter coming on in, they're predicting it'll be the coldest winter in the last 5 years, but don't you dare let it cause you to doubt human-caused global warming, because after all, politicians told you humans were warming the earth, and corporate media told you humans are warming the earth, and don't you dare not believe that. When you see all these pictures of snow and ice that are coming up all over the independent media, remember, they're the fake news. So, they're back to making excuses. The heat is hiding in the bottom of the ocean. It's the pause. Now, as I mentioned before, Donald Trump is out there saying he is going to defund those programs in NASA that involved monitoring planet Earth. In other words, sitting up there in their control rooms, looking at the satellites that were looking down on Earth and trying to find evidence that humans were warming the planet. And there were some real embarrassments. One of the NOAA weather satellites was over-reporting temperatures on the ground by about 10 degrees. It was caught, not by NOAA, but by an outside scientist saying, wait a minute, this stuff isn't matching what we're seeing on the ground sensors. NOAA finally deleted the data from their databases, but it's still being cited by the global warming people as proof the world is warming. Human-caused global warming isn't science, it's politics. And so all these people at NASA, and NASA's had a few accomplishments, but let's be very honest. Right now, the United States cannot get our own astronauts up to that International Space Station that, for the most part, we built that. And we can't even get up there anymore. We're having to buy our rocket engines from Russia because we've forgotten how to do that. Because after all, we're sitting around waiting for the polar bears to drown over there at NASA. So I think it's time for that nonsense to go away. And I think by the time inauguration comes around, it's going to be very obvious that there is no global warming. So Donald Trump is out there retasking NASA to explore the entire solar system. And I think this is amazingly a good idea for a couple of reasons. I've already mentioned the technology incubator aspect. If we're going to regain our preeminence as a manufacturing society, we need new technologies that will lead to new products and new industries. Those nations that our previous regime foolishly allowed to take over the manufacturing of high-tech products our nation invented during Apollo, those nations aren't going to be stupid enough to give it back. They're going to hang on to that. So we have to leapfrog ahead of them. And a civilian technology incubator can do that. It certainly worked in the 1960s. It can work in the 2017s, 2018, 2019. Now, obviously, for those of us who are science enthusiasts, we're curious. We'd like to see if there's life under the ice on Europa. I'd like to see if there's life in the methane pools on Titan. I would like to see vindication for Dr. Gilbert Levin that there is, in fact, indigenous life on Mars. And by the way, they just announced they found a subterranean ocean there. There's a lot more water on Mars than they previously thought. I'd like to see that. I'm curious. And I had sort of mentioned before that I'm not all that enthusiastic about seeing the American flag on other bodies in the solar system. But you know something right now that might not be a bad thing? Because looking around at America right now, we've been told for decades what we have to be angry about, even if it was made up. We're angry about racism, angry about LGBT, angry about this, angry about that. You know what's missing? Something for us to feel good about, something to make us proud. And I remember when we had that space program, even when other bad things were going on, Americans could still look to that and feel good about their nation, feel that we were great. Now, if you're my age, you will remember the Apollo 8 mission. This was the mission that first actually went to the moon. And it simply orbited the moon, and it came right on back. It didn't have the lunar module. In fact, the LEM wasn't ready. The original plan was that Apollo 8 was going to test the LEM in orbit, but it wasn't ready. So they decided to send Apollo 8 to the moon, and Apollo 9 got to do the first test flight of the LEM. And after it was all over and Apollo 8 was on its way back, I mean, this was, we were seeing all this Vietnam protests, Richard Nixon, all the corruption was coming on out. It was a terrible, terrible time. And Mission Control in Houston got a lot of telegrams of congratulations, including from Charles Lindbergh, who was living on Maui at the time. And the best one of all, and they made a point of this when Tom Hanks did his series From the Earth to the Moon, which is a really good series. It does capture the feel of what it was like back then. There was a telegram that came in that simply said, "You saved 2008. And that's what I mean. Americans need to have a reason to feel proud of their country. It's not just enough to say, be proud of your country. Okay, where? Now, obviously, the fact that we all overcame the media bias and the corrupt political machine to get Donald Trump into the White House is something we can all take pride in. But we need to be thinking about after the inauguration. And I see Donald Trump's rededication of NASA to the exploration of the solar system as something that could capture the imagination of the American people and give us something that we're going to feel really, really good about. I mean, I remember when I was a kid and they started the Mercury program, and it was just this amazing excitement that everybody had. And I know I talk about how I'm getting on in years, and I am, let's be honest. And I look back and I remember I was actually born at a time when there were no satellites in orbit, when a lot of people still actually believed there was an intelligent civilization on Mars. It wasn't far out wacko stuff. It was a serious discussion. And to see all of the history of space exploration happen during my lifetime to where we are right now. And I remember just how exciting it was. And I was building model rockets out of discarded food cans. They didn't fly. These were non-flying. I didn't get into flying models until much, much later in life. But I would build them and paint them, and I had them all over the place. Just that enthusiasm that we were doing something like that. I think we need to recapture that. I think that would be a really, really good thing. And I'm definitely fully supportive of Donald Trump and his retasking of NASA. And I think it could become a major highlight of making America great again. Because we're not going to be great again until we start believing that we're great again. And we're not going to believe that we're great again until we see ourselves doing something great. And bombing other countries into submission is not it. Let's grab a phone call here. Steve in Virginia. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi there. I was going to ask you a couple things. I had a question about we saw an article or two about the chemical weapons that there were some used, of course, in Syria, but I guess by the U.S.-supported ISIS. And then we saw another article, though, where it said that Hillary was somehow involved in the chain of command or had a key role in that occurring, and then of course blaming it on Assad. You know,
yes.
Did you have any comments on that, or is that pretty accurate as far as you you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, even the UN concluded that was what was going on. And I remember when they were doing the big push, oh, Assad has weapons of mass destruction. He's using chemical weapons on his own people. And I often use that as an example when I'm asked, how do you know if a story is real or not? And my reply is, well, these days, assume anything coming from the corporate media or a politician is a lie until proven otherwise. But coming out of that Assad thing, I said, all you need to do to tell if a story is fake is look for what should be there and isn't. If there's a missing piece, you're being fed a lie. And when Kerry and Obama were out there saying that Assad was gassing his own Alawite supporters with chemical weapons right in front of the UN inspectors, what was missing was a reason for Assad to do something that's stupid. And because they couldn't come up with a motive, that's why we knew it was a lie. Steve, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And I'm getting to the end of the news that I wanted to cover, so feel free to start calling on in here. We're now getting an update. The Pennsylvania State Department says that Jill Stein missed the deadline for a recount And as we reported earlier, Wisconsin has rejected the Stein request for a state recount by hand. They're leaving it up to the individual counties if they want to do a recount by hand or just run the ballots through the machines again. So this whole thing has cratered. And that means Hillary has her place in the history books. She's the first presidential candidate to lose three in a row, 2008, 2016, and now the 2016 recount, three strikes, and you're out of here. Not that I'm bitter. Now then, as you know, Apple has been having some problems. Apparently, their latest iOS update is shutting off phones and tablets while 30% of the battery still remains, and they're working to fix it. My question is, why were they tinkering with it to begin with? You know, why do you have to take something that's working fine and then go on in and muck about with it, as opposed to like coming out with something that's going to make our lives better? And iPhone usage has sort of plateaued. Apple's business model, and indeed the business model of so many other companies, was you will buy the next hip version every so many years. And I like to have the latest, hippest version. I'm on an iPhone 5. I guess they're what, up to 7? But that business model does not work in an economy where ordinary people are struggling to feed themselves and their families. I'm going to keep this iPhone 5 until it actually dies. Then I'll deal with getting some kind of an upgrade. But if it's an elective, people aren't buying the stuff. The iWatch has not been a very good seller. And a lot of people are saying that after next year's iPhone release, nobody's really sure where Apple can go with this. Nobody's really seeing any kind of a new feature that can be added to the phone that will be a significant attractor. And so that's kind of upset. Now, getting onto the world of online censorship, this is getting to be a big, big problem. Apparently, Megyn Kelly has a book out, and Amazon has taken it onto itself to remove comments, reviews of her book that they have deemed politically motivated. Well, again, we don't go to Amazon to have them think for us and decide for us. I go to Amazon to get Grand Tour and Vaxxed. So I think we need to go back to that idea of freedom of speech, freedom of expression has to be part of our society, including corporations, and we need to get there. By the way, as you know, Twitter has gone on a binge of canceling accounts of people who don't like Hillary Clinton, and apparently by accident suspended their own CEO's Twitter account. Whoopsie. We'll be right back after station identification.
My favorite time of year. Cooler temperatures and, well, let's be honest, layers. Lots and lots of layers. Look, I get it. We all have that favorite hoodie. Matter of fact, I've got a few favorite hoodies. You should wear yours. Enjoy it. I do. But I stay focused on my health year-round. And for me, I take Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. I eat right, control my portion sizes, still maintain a commitment to regular fitness, and I get plenty of rest. And I take Nature's Youth RSF. It's okay to cover up your beach body for a few months, but don't just forget about it. Nature's Youth understands exactly what it means to provide top quality health products, and Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain peak performance levels and fight the aging process. So layer up and get started today with Nature's Youth RSF. Nature'sYouth.com. Simple to use, even simpler to order. Go to Nature'sYouth.com. That's Nature'sYouth.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.